Soul winning. A couple weeks on soul winning. Luke or Revelation 22. And Luke 14. Luke 14, 21. This one is not only, Luke 14 is not only soul winning, but street preaching. So either way. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be effective witnesses for thee. Help us to learn to be the right kind of mouthpiece that you want us to be so we could speak up for thee. I pray that you'd help us be like John the Baptist where he said, I'm a voice. And I pray you'd help us to be a voice for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 22:17. It doesn't say, and the Spirit say, come. That would be a Calvinist. It doesn't say, and the bride say, come. That would be an Arminian. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Ghost, the bride, meaning the church. An Arminian would be ones that believe man has everything to do with his salvation. A Calvinist is one who says God has everything to do with salvation. No, the Spirit and the bride say, come. It doesn't say, come, and then we have a gun in our hand. Notice it's voluntary. Witnessing for Jesus Christ is an appeal to the conscience of people. We can't trick them into praying a prayer. Now, a lot of soul winning efforts have the, one, two, three, tag, you're it, repeat this prayer, now you're in. And that's giving people a false assurance. Okay, and so the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come. So they have to be willing hearers. Not like the guy in Colorado Springs that I talked to one time, where he said, I don't got the time, and I said, I could show you how to be saved in 2 minutes or less. He said, okay, got his watch out. He said, go. So I did it in 2 minutes or less, and then I appealed to him, get saved. He said, your time's up. I said, okay, see you later. He wasn't a willing hearer. He didn't care. Okay, let him hear, let him that is athirst come. They have to have a complete desire. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's a free gift. I heard Dr. Ruckman say one time, and I thought this was very interesting. He said, when I see conviction, I make salvation plan as simple as possible. If I don't see any conviction, I make it difficult. I think there's something to that. I think that's an interesting idea, but obviously you have to have discernment to know if you're seeing conviction. And then you have to read somebody's eyes. You've got to watch their eyes more than anything when you tell them about Jesus Christ. Okay, publicly, Luke 14, verse 21. Luke 14, 21. This is where Bible Christianity is public. It is not something private. It's not something to be held onto as far as it's just mine and my secret. A lot of people say, well, my religion is private. Well, if I had yours, I'd be embarrassed too about it. But as far as my beliefs, they give me great joy and satisfaction, so I want everybody to have this joy. Luke 14, 21, it says, so that servant came and showed his Lord those things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, has done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is room, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now the ones that are more likely to listen to you about the gospel presentation would be the poor, the maimed, the halt and the blind. They're the ones that's more likely to give you an ear. Now, each year I've noticed it's getting harder and harder as far as people in homes to witness to. They're getting tougher and tougher, and you just don't get in too many houses. And maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not pushy enough, but I don't know. Everybody has a little different approach. Now, what the Lord wants us to do in John 1:23, all the Lord wants is us to be a willing voice. They asked John the Baptist, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm a voice. I'm a voice." So that's what God wants us to do. So there's two parts of soul winning that gives that you realize you have a great privilege. One is you get to labor with God. Can you imagine that? You get to be a business partner with God trying to win a soul to Christ. There's no better business than that. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You and God are teaming up together to try to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now that is a great honor and privilege. Another thing is, not only do you labor with God, but when you're out knocking on doors or trying to win souls or witness for Jesus Christ, you also learn from men. You learn from men. Look in Proverbs 11, verse 30. Now, I do believe there are a little bit different techniques on soul winning versus when two women are out knocking on door versus two men. It's better to go two by two. I have done a lot by myself. Now, that is kind of dangerous because of the perversion of people. But I never walk in a house when I'm by myself. So a person, it's best to go two by two as far as witnessing, as far as encouraging each other and things like that. But two women, I would say rarely, if ever, you should get in a theological discussion. I just don't know if, you know, it's got to be a rare thing. Now, men, I would say we can get into discussion trying to work on somebody if it's an honest question. Young kids, I would say hardly ever. I would encourage them to try to get somebody to come back and talk to the person to answer full of their questions. Reason why is, again, because of the way things are nowadays as far as perverted situation, two young teenage girls should never walk in a house. Okay, the way we did it in Colorado, and I thought it was a pretty good method. Of course, we just thought of the method, so I thought it was pretty good. We had four teenage girls, three teenage boys, and one adult in a group. The two girls went two by two. The boys would rotate two, would go to a door, and they would kind of all be in the same street, and then one boy would stay in a sidewalk, and then they'd rotate, you know, as they would go to house, and that way a young man was always outside, and the adult was always around in case there was problems. Now, we didn't have any problems, but just in case. Okay, Proverbs 11, verse 30, it says, The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, here's how you learn from men. You realize you don't know as much as you think you know when you get talking to people. And they're going to throw questions at you. Now, sometimes the questions should be avoided, but then or sometimes they should be answered. So you're going to exercise, you're going to be exercised with other viewpoints, other beliefs, and you're going to find some of the wackiest beliefs when you get out there knocking on doors. You know, I can tell you story after story. One time I took Janet down to Ramsey's Landing, if you know where that's at, Ramsey's Landing. I said, I'm going to take you someplace where nobody ever knocks on these doors. The first door we knocked on, there was nobody home. The second door we knocked on, the woman said, "You Baptists are everywhere." And I said, "Did you just move here?" "Yes." "From where?" "Gary, Indiana." I said, "Oh, all them people, First Baptist Hammond, knocked on her door. She was so sick of it. And then about six doors down, we knocked on his door, and this guy, dark house inside, and he said, "Hell, he's a loner, don't like to talk to people." But for some reason, he let us in, and then he talked our ear off for an hour. That's Ramsey's Landing. And so you're going to have some very strange, weird experiences as far as people, and you're going to see there are some real kooks out there. And you may have to try to look for antennas when they come up. But when you deal with people, you learn a lot of tremendous things. He that winneth souls is wise. I never thought of this, but Jeremy was just telling me that they got on this chat, this chat talk or Christian thing, and man, that's a great way to learn to challenge people back and forth, because if you answer it, write something, type something, and then they tap you back, then you can think about it, go look up a Bible verse, and then come back and weigh your answer, and then put it in again, and then come back and forth. That's great. Where when you're on the streets, it's right on the spot. You gotta know how to pray the Nehemiah prayer. And the Nehemiah prayer is a very simple prayer. The first time they ask a question, if you don't know the answer, say, "Would you repeat that question?" As they repeat that question, say, Lord, help me out." And then watch the Lord give you the answer. And I've seen that time and time again. So wisdom. In the Bible, there are soul-winning examples. John 3 is the Bible example of how to deal with a religious leader. John 3, the first 21 verses. We might go through some of these next week. Today we're going to go the basic plan of salvation. Okay, John 4, the first 42 verses, is how to deal with a common woman on the street, the common man. John 3 is the religious leaders. This is Jesus Christ doing it. John 4, this is Jesus Christ winning the woman, the Samaritan woman. In Acts 8, verse 26 to 40, is Philip winning the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. I have never experienced that experience there where I came up on somebody and they were sitting in their down reading the Bible. You know, it's always you have to bring up the subject matter. But I've never come up on somebody where they were actually reading the Bible and then I got to win them to Christ, like that Ethiopian eunuch. So that's a great soul-winning experience. Okay, now there's the standard and basic gospel presentation. Very important to do this one, get this one memorized. And then there are what I would guess you could say spontaneous soul winning or advanced bringing conviction to the sinner. The standard would be the simple Romans road. The advanced would be able to go with any punch, anytime, anywhere. Okay, that one... you don't see as many souls saved, but I tell you, you see more conviction. Now, a person has to be very careful that when you're knocking on doors, when you're trying to see people saved, you have to be very careful that you just don't run them through a four-step plan, get them to repeat a prayer after you, and then you think they got saved. You're doing yourself injustice, you're doing them injustice, and I doubt they're saved. You know, just a 1, 2, 3, just like that. Okay, so here's probably some things a person should do preparing yourself to witness to somebody. First thing, pray for the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Pray for that, and at the same time, pray for boldness. That is evidence of the filling of the Spirit. Acts 4, 31. The evidence of the fullness of the Holy Ghost is not speaking in unknown tongues or the fake stuff nowadays. It's being bold with the Scriptures. Now, we all have this problem because we're humans. And if you're introvert, you're going to have a harder time with this. I am an introvert. And my calling doesn't allow me to revel in my nature. My calling is I have to talk. I don't like talking. I do like talking about the scriptures, but if I get around people that I don't know, I am definitely not the life of the party. My personality is about like a wet noodle. Put me in a wet paper bag and I'll sit in the corner. That's my nature. I have to force myself to go out into the public and try to witness for Jesus Christ. I have to force myself to go out and talk to people. A salesman, I am not. But to witness for Jesus Christ is not a salesman. And so, yeah, I pray for boldness. I pray this: God, please give me the right words at the right time to the right person with the right spirit. Now, you pray that prayer, you'll be amazed what comes out of your mouth. That's spontaneous witnessing. The Lord doesn't win everybody through the Romans road. Now, that's a good standard plan to follow, and it's one a person should memorize. Okay, but there are other ways of leading people to Christ. So the first thing, be filled with the Spirit. Second thing, be filled with the Scripture. Study as much as you can. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 is the parallel to the filling of the Holy Ghost. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the parallel to the filled with the Spirit. So know the Scriptures the best you can. Now don't be worried about people stumping you, asking you questions. Don't worry about that. You say, well, I'm afraid to say the wrong thing. No, don't justify yourself. Don't worry about that either. If your heart is right and you want to say the right thing, the Lord will give you the right words. Okay, and if somebody stumps you on the Bible, you don't need to be embarrassed. I don't know why it is that people are embarrassed to say, I don't know the answer. There's no shame in that. Preachers are deathly guilty on that. And if somebody asks you a Bible question, you don't know the answer, just simply look at them and say, well, you know, I don't know that answer. But when I find out what the Bible says about that, I'm going to agree with the Bible. And if you're really interested, are you really interested in that? If you're really interested, you know, you kind of got my curiosity up. You give me 7 days, I'll pray about it, do a little homework, and then I'll come back talk to you in 7 days. Would that be a deal? Now, what you're doing is you're setting them up to see if they're really sincere, if they're just trying to get you off the path. Now, if they don't care, well, then don't worry about it. And then you just go home and learn yourself. And what a person wants to try to do to be able to give the verse I heard quoted tonight, give an answer for the reason that's in you with meekness and fear. But I'll be able to give an answer for these things. So be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Scriptures. Crucify the flesh. The flesh doesn't like going out in the streets. The flesh don't like that. The flesh doesn't like people mocking you. The flesh doesn't like it when people slam the door in your face. The flesh doesn't like it when somebody cusses you out. They don't like those. And I'm telling you, that's the way it is out there. Yeah, I'm not going to paint a pretty picture. You find out what's really going on in our country. You get out in the streets and you find out how people care less about the truth. Okay, so be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Scriptures. Pray. Make sure you're on prayer ground. I would say a good prayer to pray, and you can pray it quietly, but possibly out loud as you're walking up the sidewalk. Psalms 119, verse 18. Lord, please open their eyes to the Scriptures. As you're walking up towards the house, you don't need to, you know, say this loudly, but you just say, Lord, please open their eyes to the Scriptures. God, please cover this house with the shed blood of Christ. Please bind the devil. Lord, please help me to make the gospel enticing to them. Rap on the door. Now, if you're really scared, you knock like this. Oh, they weren't home. That's how Brent said they knocked on the gate in Chalco, right? Heidi said that? They just knocked like real quietly, and then that's, I don't know. Okay, but knock on the door or ring the doorbell. I usually rap on the door because most of the time doorbells don't work. Okay, then you knock on the door, and then you just step back. Okay, so you've prayed these prayers. Okay, now some would say at this point you introduce yourself. My name is such and such. I'm from such and such church. Now, it's a matter of preference. I don't do that because they don't care who I am. I just say I'm from this church. I'm from the Bible Baptist Church or First Baptist Church. And then I usually say, and I have something I'd like to show you in the Bible, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven, and I have a track in my hand, and I try to offer them track. Now, mostly they take the track. As I'm doing that, I'm watching their eyes, and I'm seeing if they have an interest, and I try to make a step further into the gospel plan, but if I don't see that, and if I see that they really don't want to talk, then I want to keep that door open for the next person that's going to try to witness to them. I'm not a JW. JWs have hurt us a lot. I don't ask for a quarter for the track. I try to keep the door open in that way. I try to, you know, somehow try to, you got to do this very quickly. You got to try to find out an agreement where we can agree on something, where we have a common relationship here. Now, when you're at nighttime and they see two men at the front door, don't be surprised if they don't want to open the door. I don't blame them. In fact, I'm surprised if they do open the door. And you have to realize you're a guest on their property. And if they say, get off my land, yes, sir, but I'd just like to give you this. I don't want it. You can stick it in your ear. Well, it won't fit, but I'll see you later. Okay, so I do believe we need to be courteous, polite, but we've prayed that God would open their eyes to the Scriptures. God, please open their eyes to the Scriptures. Please bind the devil. Please soak this place in the shed blood of Christ. Lord, please help me to make the gospel understandable and enticing. A lot of times we pray for a soul to get saved. God, please save that soul. God, save that soul. But you know, God will not force anybody to get saved. So I believe more specifically we pray that God would make the gospel presentation enticing to them. God, please help me to make it so clear. Help me to be precise in my wordings. Help me to be very organized in my presentation. Help me to make it very clear so that then when I'm done, they have no questions. It is totally understandable by them. And a person has to practice when you do these things. Okay, so those the prayer you pray at the beginning, on the after the fact. Okay, if you left. If they've rejected it, a good prayer to pray is Psalm 119, verse 165, or 126. I'm sorry, 126. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work. They have made void thy law. Let God work on them for a while. And what we want the Lord to do is get that person in desperate straits, because you know most people will not accept the gospel except they are in desperate straits. Three types of people came and sought David out when Saul was chasing them. They were discontented, in distress, and in debt. Now, when we say the verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what does that call upon the name of the Lord mean? When in the Bible, when somebody calls, they are crying out. They are in distress. They are under conviction. They know they're going to hell. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's just not a casual, flippant thing. And so I do believe that a person has to be, you know, I have a New Testament. When I first got to Rensselaer, you know, I had my little soul-winning New Testament. And I've got all these names in there, all these people that I got to pray a prayer after. How many of them people are still in church today? I know of one. Now, all those others, did they get saved? I don't know. But in my little thing, I've got one of those persons, well, two of them actually. One can't be in church, he's in a nursing home. But one of them is in church. But boy, a lot of them names, I haven't seen them people in years. And so we pray that, Lord, it's time for thee to work. They have made void thy law. Okay, now if you get down to the basic Romans road, okay, the basic plan. I'm going to go through the basic plan, and I'm just going to do it like I'm winning somebody to Christ, exactly how I would witness to somebody once I get them down to the Romans road. Now, there may be some slight variations. Mrs. Hoffman, Miss Janet, she uses maybe a couple different verses than I use, and I think she's a better soul winner than I am. She's much more friendly than I am, I know that. As far as people on the streets. But each person may have a little different variance. Usually when I start the plan of salvation, I've asked the person already, I've asked them this question: if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And I say it slowly. If you die today, do you know for sure go to heaven? I was knocking on doors in Gary, Indiana one time, and this is where I was just new at this, you know. And I went through, my name is, and this is where I'm from, and the guy says, I've heard this before. And I thought, oh yeah, I am a robot, aren't I? And that's what it is, just a robot. And so a person tries to relax in these things. And if you think about the person in the house, perfect love casteth out fear. If you think about them and their soul going to hell, your love for them will overcome your fear of your anxieties. Okay, so I've asked a person, if you die today, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And they may say, well, I don't think anybody can know that. Well, then I would follow that one up. Well, if there was a way that you could know it, wouldn't it be nice to know? And at that point, well, sure. Well, if I could take a couple minutes and I showed you in the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven, would you like to see it? Well, yeah, I can do that. I said, okay. Now, sometimes I don't carry a Bible when I'm out knocking on doors. I ask them if they got a Bible. Sometimes I do have a Bible, sometimes I don't. Now it's at the point now I have to have it memorized because I can't see it that close if you got these small Bibles. And so, okay, I get a Bible, whip a Bible out. I would say, dare say, it's best to have a little New Testament, or you can get, you know, ones with larger print, but a New Testament, whip the thing out. And I tell them this. I said, now I'm going to show you four things about how to go to heaven. The first two are negative, and the next two are positive. And I said, just as in life, things are often work negative first and positive second. If you are sick, you're going to a doctor, he's going to tell you what's wrong with you first before he can make you right. If you got something wrong with your car, you're going to take it to a mechanic, and he's going to tell you what's wrong with it before he can make it right. Two negatives first, two positive second. I tell them right off the bat. Why do you have to tell Americans that? Because we're so positive oriented. And so we got to give them balance. You have a battery, it's got a negative post and a positive post, so we're going to give a 50-50 here. Okay, the first negative I'm going to show you is found in Romans 3:23. Some use Romans 3:10. That's fine too. You can put both of them together. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. look at them and smile and say, now, isn't that obvious we're all sinners? You say, what if you find one that doesn't think they're a sinner? Well, you might. Jen had one lady that said she was perfect and holy as Christ as she was sitting there puffing on her ciggy. Okay, so number one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the first thing I'm telling you is you're a sinner. Just like a doctor says, you're sick. Now, that's point number one, and that's really all you have to do. Now, here, what you have in their mind now, point number one was pretty fast. This isn't going to take an hour. So you've got their interest. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. Make sure you tell them that, you're a sinner too. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the second negative truth that I want to give you is that because of sin, there's a paycheck on sin, and that paycheck is punishment, and it means to die, and a person's going to go to hell. Now, I take them to Romans 6:23 at this point. Romans 6:23. Again, with some slight variations, some might take in Romans 5:12, but I take them to Romans 6:23, and I read them the first phrase only. Now, I understand doctrine that this verse is not dealing with lost sinners. It's dealing with saved people. But, hey, the Lord don't mind you using the scriptures in this fashion. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. I stop right there. And I say, now, what's a wage? A wage is a paycheck, isn't it? A paycheck on sin is death. And I tell them, and I said, now, that's just like a doctor told you you're sick. And now you're not feeling good about it. Now the wage of sin is death. Now then, right at that point, I flip in my New Testament to Revelation 21:8. Now I have it ready to go, so there's not any delay in this process. And I've got the New Testament turned so they can see it for themselves. And I read in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sorcerers and whoremongers and idolaters and all liars. You read it slowly. Shall have their part in the lake of the burners with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I said Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now if you just die and dead like a dog, I guess that wouldn't be half bad. But this Revelation 21:8 says there's a second death. And what's that sound like to you? And I ask them the question. I expect an answer. If they're not listening, if they don't care, then why proceed further? So I wait for an answer. What does this sound like to you? Lake of fire. And you don't usually get the answer. Well, it sounds like hell to me. I said, oh boy, isn't that? Now there's a list of people. You don't want to be that list, do you? And then I just gloss over some of them words. I say, you may or may not have done these. Abominable, whoremongering. I may give it a brief definition. Sorcery, that's drugs. Witchcraft, Harry Potter. They got to know what sin we're dealing with. You got to touch on their sin. I said, you may or may not have done these, idolater. But look here, it says, all liars. And I ask them, how many lies you have to tell to be a liar? One. I said, so that's pretty bad news for you, isn't it? If you take this, wages of sin is death, and if you take this, second part, second death, lake burned fire and brimstone, if you died right now, where would you go? I said, that's bad news, isn't it? That's like a doctor telling you you're sick, you got cancer, you're going to be dead in 6 months. Now that's bad news. That's the two negative. I said, I told you it's going to be negative. I said, but if the doctor didn't tell you that, that wouldn't be fair because at least you could do something about it. Now here's the two positives. And then I run back to Romans 6:23, and I complete the verse. And sometimes I throw in a little joke because you got to watch out for people if they don't complete the verse. So the verse says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, obviously we know eternal life would be heaven, eternal death would be hell. And notice it's a gift. It's something you cannot work for. It's a free gift. It's eternal life. And notice it's through Jesus Christ, and it's not through a Baptist church, Catholic church, you know, anything like that. It's through Jesus Christ. That's what it says. And I said, now that leads us to the first positive thing is, why was it through Jesus Christ? Well, Romans 5:8 says, and then I flip him back to that, and it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. I remind him, I see, look at here. He had to tell us again we're sinners, didn't he? Christ died for us. And then I tell briefly the gospel story. I said, you may know the story about Jesus Christ, how he came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. Now that right there is a ticket to heaven. That is a ticket. That is the price for salvation. He died for sinners as your replacement. But you see, that's good news for people, but a lot of people know that in their head. But what about here? Okay, if that, and I go back to my doctor illustration. If that doctor said you're dead in 6 months from cancer, but yet that doctor gave you a bottle of medicine and said this medicine's going to cure you. You brought that medicine home and stuck it on the table. How's it going to work? Is it going to cure you? No, to know the idea about Jesus Christ dying, you have to do something with it. What are you going to have to do with it? Well, if you got that bottle of medicine, I tell them, what do you got to do with that bottle of medicine? What do you got to do with that medicine? They'll usually come up with the answer, you have to receive it. I said, exactly right. Now the question is, how do you receive Jesus Christ? So I've got him Romans 5:8, and I flip into Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Now, how do you receive Jesus Christ? Now, at this point, if you got a Catholic, they may think, eat him. And so you've got to clarify, how do you receive Jesus Christ? Now, this one, in case you happen to be in somebody's home and you happen to be using your Bible and you got an NIV, you're going to have to close it at this point because they got a satanic confession here. And I discovered that when I was witnessing to a lady in her home with her NIV. And when I saw that, I just subtly closed the Bible and I said, the Bible says, and I quoted the Bible, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised her from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice it doesn't say might be saved. Shalt be saved. Notice it says thou, that if thou, that's a personal pronoun. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, and then at that point I said, now I don't know what you're thinking in your heart, but in your heart, in your innermost being, are you willing to receive Jesus Christ? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and it repeats it, shall be saved. Saved from hell. Doesn't say might be, doesn't say hope to be. It's a guarantee, 100% written contract right in front of you. And so then I just briefly go through the thing. And I say, now here's what you have to know for sure you're going to heaven. You're a sinner. You're doomed to hell. Jesus Christ died for you. If you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ the best way you know how, you can pray and ask the Lord to save you. Now here's probably the most difficult part of it. And this will be the part where you'll probably have more interruptions. Old Aunt Sally from 3 years ago will be calling. So how do you get this part? That's just something you're going to have to try to, I don't think you can trick them into it. Some say, just give out your hand. If you'd like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, would you take my hand? And then they go through a prayer like that. I usually just ask them, say, if you'd like to know for sure you're going to heaven, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? I could help you to pray right now. We can take care of this right now. I try to get them to pray in their own words, but often I help them. And then if they've trusted Christ, if they've prayed, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then I give them assurance of salvation as best I can according to the Scriptures. I go back to Romans 10:13. I said, now, if you died right now, where would you go? They'd say, heaven. I said, why? Now, there's a very important question. Why? Now you can see how well you did. Now you can see what they... Well, why? I prayed that prayer. It's not the right answer. And it's not that we want them to give the right answer. We want to try to read their heart. Who are you trusting in? God? Well, who died on a cross? Well, Jesus Christ. Well, he's God. I understand that, but I'd still want to hear him say the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, if you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it says, shall be saved. Okay, if you died a year from now, where would you go? Now think about that. Heaven? I said, who are you trusting in? Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, how about 5 years from now? If you died 5 years from now, where would you go? Heaven? Why? Because I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's starting to sink in. If you died 20 years from now, what's that, eternal security? I'd go to heaven. Why? Because I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're doing is we're trying to give them assurance of salvation. Believe the Scriptures. Okay, that's commonly known as the Romans Road, with a slight variations. But a person wants to practice on these things. Get these verses memorized. Get them memorized, because when you're holding your Bible in front of somebody, you're going to have it upside down, letting them looking at it. So you've got to be going through it. And plus, it gives you an eye assurance of salvation. Boy, the joy of winning somebody to Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the greatest business. Greatest business. Next week, well, we may go on to the other soul winning examples in the Bible. We'll stop here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do pray that you'd help.